like to. I sure appreciate that song Sister Brittany sang. He will not fail. Amen. He will not fail. And I love serving a God that you can have confidence in. You know, if there was doubt there, it would be kind of hard to have faith, you know. Well, our God wins most of his battles, you know. What about this one, you know? But God wins all of his battles.
Amen.
He won't fail. And that's where our confidence must be, is in the Lord. I want to speak to you on a thought this morning, an established heart. An established heart. And we're going to go into Psalms chapter 112. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. We want to say that we miss Brother Tony and Sister Lisa this morning. And ask God to help them and be with them as they're away. I believe Brother Tony's just a good man of God. I've had the privilege of going and doing a little bit of missions work with him. And he's a pleasure to travel with. You know, I get up and a lot of times in the middle of the night and pray and like to read my Bible and I'll walk through. Well, whenever me and Brother Tony could do that, we would actually get up and we would walk into one another. I would be on one side of the door and look over and he would do the same thing. I thought that was just, it's really neat. So I thank a lot of Brother Tony. I really do. So just want to say God bless him this morning. So Psalms chapter 112, let's start in verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Up unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion." I really like that scripture. He guides his... Go back to that scripture if you don't mind. "A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion." I think we should want to do that too. To guide our affairs with discretion in what we do. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning. And we thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord, you know that in myself, Lord, I'm not trying to bring anything of myself. I want it to be just you, Lord. Lord, let there be a word that can be preached that will be as a coal of fire, if it were, Lord, that would lodge down into their hearts, Lord, to compel them to strive a little harder, run a little higher, Lord. Do the best that we can to lift your name up, because you are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We're going to talk about an established heart this morning. If you look at the dictionary of an established heart, according to the Bible dictionary, it's to place something securely and permanently in a position, a situation, or a condition. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I'm going to say also, as a man thinks of himself, so is he. Amen? And I want to stop for just a moment and say, it's a pleasure to travel with Brother Matthew and Sister Brittany also. So I wasn't trying to put one on top of the other a while ago. Just to make sure the devil don't try to stick his little head in there, you know. I love traveling with them also. I believe they're real Christians. And so, praise the Lord. As a man thinketh of himself, so is he also. Because, you know, a person must value who they are and what they stand for. Their vision of life reflects how they value themselves. So you can look at how someone values themselves by the life that they live. It will be reflected by what principles they stand for. It will be reflected by the securities and insecurities of their life. It is reflected in how they dress and conduct themselves. An athlete who is insecure of his abilities tends to hold back whenever he should be given his best. Even though the coach knows there's more for him to give, he'll hold back. Why? Because he's insecure of himself. And that's the way we are. That's the way management is. If you have an employee that has the potential, you can do so much more, but you keep holding back. But it's that coach's job to try to get him where he needs to be. And you know, we as believers, a lot of times we can tend to hold back also because of insecurities. But we have to have that faith in the position that we're called to. Hey, I am a son of God. I am called to this position. I have been given this land. I am going to do this, not in myself, but because God gave it to me. It's a divine promise. So fear of failing is a complex of insecurity. You say amen. A lot of times the reason people won't take that business adventure is a fear of failing. Reason you're afraid you won't succeed. God in the beginning had to value himself to believe the words that he spoke. An insecure God would never believe the angels would worship him. So the one that we serve, the one that we strive for, he is our guide, he is our leader, he is our absolute, he is our example. In order for him to lead us and have a people that's confident in who they are, he has to be confident in who he is. And I believe we serve a God who is confident. We serve a God that knows who he is. We serve a God that can control the conditions. We serve a God that knows, he knows how to make preparations for the journey. He knows he's a leader. He's a guide. He's experienced. He's someone that we can follow with confidence. He can never believe he could control a universe if he was insecure. He can never believe that his vision would work into the end. He would constantly be changing his plans. But thank God, he's the Alpha and Omega. He's a God that knows. He does not have to change his plans. He doesn't have to do those things, and that's why we can have faith in him. He knows the end from the beginning. So we can have confidence. No matter what Satan throws at us, the vision will not fail. You say amen. The vision for my life will not fail. It's one thing I look back and say the vision of Brother Brennan won't fail. The vision of Brother Tim or Brother Tony, it won't fail. Let me say this. The vision for you will not fail. Amen. You have a purpose. But we must establish our heart. Our heart must be established in it that no matter what circumstances comes, no matter what the devil throws at us, no matter how I feel, his vision of me will not fail. Amen. Because my confidence is in him. God does not do anything halfway. He guides all of his affairs with discretion. And I believe, I love that scripture. That means God, his affair with me, he did it with discretion. God didn't just do it fly by night and say, okay, I'll take that one too. I'll take Daniel Black. No, it was before the foundation of the world with discretion. God said, I'm choosing him. This is mine. I'm choosing you. With discretion, I know the ins and outs. I've weighed the balances. I have chosen you for a purpose. And he's a good steward. God's good at keeping his word. He's good at keeping his promises. So God used discretion when he called you. He says, I have thought it out and I've chosen you. From the before the foundation of the world, in my mind, I've chosen you and for a purpose. Now I want you to think about this. This may sound kind of silly, but I believe it's absolutely the truth. The truth. God knew exactly how much sand he needed to build the hill of Golgotha. He knew exactly how high the grass would be on the hill of Golgotha. God knew exactly how many gnats would be on the hill of Golgotha. God knew exactly how many of everything, the precise image, God knew exactly how it would be. If God knew that, how much more mindful and how much more in control was he of what he was doing on Calvary? And if it's that same way, brothers and sisters, I believe with all my heart, God knew exactly the diameter, the measure of the grass this morning, of how everything will be. And you take that in any circumstance of our life, God is so in control of your life. God is so in control of my life, not just the big thing, not just, I'm talking down to the little bitty details. God is in control. Amen. God is in control of your life. God has not lost it. Every speck of his creation was engineered in his mind to be precisely how he wanted to be, to stand the test of time. How much confidence does God deserve? How much praise should we really give God compared to what we give him? We being finite have opportunity to fail. The definition of infinite, which is who God is limitless or endless in space, extent, or size, impossible to measure or calculate. As an example, the infinite mercy of God. But we are finite, and the finite means having limits or bounds. And brother, as me and Brother Tim dealt with this morning, he dealt with it, I guess. Every computer has a finite amount of memory. We had to change out the memory on the thumb drive. You can have the best of the best of the best. It's still finite. It's limited. God cannot be exhausted. Man in himself has limits. He can be the fastest runner, the most intelligent, the most elite fighter, but in himself, he has limits. And something I think the little kids about a lot, we talked about this on our trip. The fastest land animal is the cheetah. And the cheetah can reach the terrific speed of 75 miles an hour in 3 seconds. But he can only do it for 60 seconds. He's super, super fast, super, super strength. He's still finite. He can only do it for a little bit. He's still limited. He's still bound. He can only go so far. A lion can run 50 to 55 miles an hour for 36 feet. Oh, he's super fast. He's super strength. He can go and he can devour up to 36 feet. And after that, he's done. He's laying down. And most of the images you ever see of a lion, what are they doing? Laying down. Is that true? Yeah. Cheetahs too. They're laying on a tree. Why? They're plumb exhausted. They did everything. Absolutely. 90 or 75 miles an hour. And he's absolutely toast. So man in his image, man in his absolute best of his best of his best. And that includes you. That includes you. Your absolute best, you are finite. You are limited in yourself.
Right.
But then when God comes, it's a different story. You know, that's why I'm so thankful that we have a God that can meet our needs. The current world record for running speed is held by Usain Bolt at roughly 28 miles per hour. And it's difficult to imagine running any faster. However, some individuals have speculated that it may be possible for humans to run as fast as 40 miles per hour under ideal conditions and circumstances. So the absolute best of the best that man could get, 40 miles an hour. Could you imagine running 40 miles an hour? I've gone downhill, I could have swore I've gone faster than that by flipping over, you know. The first time I went skiing, we went to Colorado and Keystone, Colorado on our senior trip, and I've never done it in my life, and I'm one of those people, I got it. They said, you sure you want it? I said, nah, I got it. We put those skis on top of me, and I was like, I learned real quickly how to go, but the most important thing I didn't figure out was how to stop. So I was going down this hill, I'm talking as fast as it felt like it was 75 miles an hour. I feel like I would have probably passed the cheetah, probably 76 or 77 miles an hour. I was going through and I seen a whole group of people sitting right there, and I was like, look out! And like a bunch of bowling pins. I hit those things, they just went tumbling everywhere, and then the security guard was chasing me, and then I was really trying to trying to get away here, and this guy was chasing me. You know, in my most terrific speed I could possibly do, I couldn't stop. I was finite. No matter what I can do, I am limited. And that's why we have to realize in our own ability, we are limited. You can only do it so far, brother and sister.
Right.
But whenever we can surrender to the calling of God as a son or daughter of God, and God can put his hand upon you and put his anointing upon you, you can go beyond the ability of man. You can go beyond the ability. When Samson did what he did not do that in the ability of Samson. He did it under the ability that God gave him through the Holy Ghost. And as just as Samson slew the enemy in the name of the Lord, we have enemies that we need to slay many times. There will be enemies around us. You're crashed about you. And maybe it's not an actual Philistine out there with a shield and a sword, but how many knows you've got an enemy? Right. And he'll fight your mind. He'll bind your mind and say, you've got so much pressure. You've got to worry about this. You've got to worry about this. You've got to worry about this. I remember times in my life I would feel so, I would almost like have an anxiety attack. I was feeling so stressed because I have to worry about something. And I felt the gentle spirit of the Lord just come down in the vehicle and ask me, what are you worried about? And you know, I began to think, well, am I worried about this? No. Am I worried about this? No. Am I worried about this? No. And I could not put my finger on anything, one thing I was really worried about. But that devil had put a worry. And it was just making me so nervous. And finally I realized, you know what? This is a demon. This is a devil that's putting this tormenting spirit upon me of worry and fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. You say amen.
Right.
And we live in an age right now with pressure. And it's a demonic spirit. And we in this building, be under the sound of my voice, we that testify that we believe the message of the hour, we are not obsolete to that. It will come and it will pound you. It will pound your mind. And just as sure as a lamb that won't bear the wool like it should be able to, because of worry and fret, we too will not bear the fruit that we are capable of because of this right here, our mind. Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, they are the elite of their class as far as being trained in battle. They go through trainings that are right to the almost to the edge of death to get them prepared, so they'll be prepared for any circumstance they possibly go through. And they have all the tools, that the best military equipment that can ever be given to them, they are still finite. And the terrible experience, or terrible examples, is the times when they are almost our beloved soldiers were sent to a country. Because when you go to a country, you should be, in God's program, the whole country backs you up. And the whole country will go behind you and fight for you. Because that's God's way. But in man's way, in the corruption, because of corruption, it's not done God's way. Elite men that dedicated, that we're talking about men that were farmers, that were had something inside them that when they grabbed the dirt off the ground, it meant something to them. It was men that had that knew the value of a dollar. It was men that valued freedom. It was men that valued, they wanted it to be where we can do what we're doing this morning, going to church and worshiping in freedom.
Right.
How many of you had to go through a toll station with men with their machine guns so we can get to church this morning? None of us. It was, and I thank God for it. But it was those men that did that. They were consecrated men. And they said, you know what? I will die for my country. They went in there and they went to training and the battles and all these things to become the best of the best, the elite of the elite. Why? For a purpose, to protect a country. And these men were sent to battle on a battle to save, to protect our country and what we stand for. And America turned their back on them. And the elite of the elite, the best soldiers that could be, one by one, after, even though each soldier killed so many of the enemy, eventually the finite was revealed. Even though they were so elite, even though they were so strong, even though they had the best training, they knew what to do. And imagine the enemy saying, my goodness, these people are strong. These people are good. They're killing by the thousands. But eventually the finite comes through, and even those men, as elite as they were, one by one, losing their lives over a corrupt world that we live in. What's the emphasis I'm trying to show? Even if you are the elite in your physical capabilities, you can be the smartest, most intelligent person, you are finite.
Right.
And brother, sister, we've got a goal, and the end zone goal is a body change. The end time goal, the goal for this hour is to display that we serve a God that answers prayer.
Amen.
We serve a holy God. And the world is influxed with the worldlyism. And in the midst of all the worldlyism, God has an elite group of people that are here saying, I'm here to stand for something. I'm fighting for something. Even though the pressures of my mind, because of everybody else, they're not going to live holy. I will live holy because my God deserves my worship. And it looks impossible. Just as it did with these Navy SEALs that were sent over. It looks impossible. However, in the program that we fight in, God won't leave us stranded. Sometimes it may feel like you're stranded. Sometimes it may feel like you're standing on a hill or you're in a trench and you're fighting by yourself. You will feel that way. Let me say this morning as a message from the Lord. You are not forgotten. God sees you. God sees your battles. God sees the times whenever you are tempted to go a certain way. You're so tempted. The devil will tempt you. It's so much easier if I just go the way of the world. It's so much easier. But you say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going the way of the world. I serve a living God and He deserves my worship. Even though all the people I work with, they may do it. The people you go shopping with, they may do it. But I won't do it. The people you go to school with, they may go the way of the world. But yet there's something inside you say, I'm serving a country. I'm serving a God. I'm serving a purpose. I'm a representative of someone that is where I have established in my heart, I'm a Christian. The most wonderful thing that we could ever have, the greatest testimony we can ever have is, I am a Christian, and I stand for something. And I serve a holy God, and He says, be you holy, even as I am holy. And we can't do that in ourselves because we are finite. Even in the best of your schooling, of the message, of learning it, you are still limited. You can go so far, brother and sister, that's why we have to go beyond ourselves and reach that part where God puts His hand on us. And that's when the supernatural takes place. Amen. So it takes confidence to be successful. The definition of confidence is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something, a firm trust. As an example, we had every confidence in the staff. When I read that, I thought about Moses. We have all the confidence in the staff. You know, we see the staff go up. That's all the staff are talking about. The state of feeling certain about the truth of something. As an example, it is not possible to say with confidence how much of the increase in sea levels is due to the melting glaciers. A feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. And as an example, she's brimming with confidence. It's something to see a woman that's confident in who she is. But unfortunately, the world has gone the other way. You know, she's confident, but she thinks she's a businesswoman. But you know, may the bride be brimming with confidence in the Word. A bride in this hour that is brimming with confidence. Let me show you what I'm trying to do, an example, the best I can without looking too ridiculous. A woman that's a wife that is confident in who she is, confident in her home, confident in her position as a mommy, confident in these things, whenever she conducts herself, when she walks, she is walking brimmingly. Someone can look at that and say, this is a woman that loves her mama. This is a woman that loves her position. This is a woman that loves her husband. This is a woman that loves her children. And the way she's conducting herself, she is brimming. And I use the woman because it's a type of the bride. We should walk brimmingly to this world. For the world can say, I don't know how you do it. In the midst of everything, we joke and you walk away. You don't sit and listen to our jokes. Whenever we say, look at that woman over here, you just turn your head. I'm walking the other way. How do you do that? It's not us. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's brimming to God. But our confidence is not in ourselves, it is in the Word. His Word says He'll keep me, and it's keeping me. The centurion had to believe in himself that the men would follow his commands. I mean, knows what I'm talking about in the centurion. Right. Jesus told him, I tell men to go, they go. I tell them to come, they come. This man had to have confidence in the position that he had in order to be able to do that. Where there is confidence, there is opportunity for dominion. Now, I felt Lord very clearly to put opportunity for dominion. Because a lot of people have confidence, but they ain't going to dominate nothing.
Right.
Just having confidence is not enough. Right. But it gives you the opportunity. Whenever we have confidence in our position as a son or daughter of God, there is opportunity for dominion. Amen. How many wants dominion in your life?
Amen.
Where I am having dominion over the things that try to prevail over me?
Amen.
Absolutely, we want to, but where it goes back to? It goes back to the confidence. Confidence is in one's position makes way for them to be the best that they can be. A husband or wife that is confident in themselves won't keep shortchanging themselves or each other. A person starting the gym
can feel awkward and insecure at first, but the more they go, they may say, you know what? I can do this. I've got this. I know. I remember the first time I ever went to the gym, I felt stupid, you know, going to work out. I felt dumb. I felt like everyone was looking at me. But after a little while, you get loose. Brother Matthew, is that true? It works out. It takes time. But you began to gain confidence. The proud slave reminds me of Brother Brenham talked about the slave. There was a proud slave. They said, I want that slave. What was it? That man was a child of a king, and he knew he was. And because he was, he had confidence in his position as a child of a king. It wasn't a feather bed of ease for him. He was being beat on his back. He had all this nonsense going on. And it actually come to the point where he said he didn't have to take beatings anymore, because he would just get up and do it, because his mindset says, I don't care what my conditions is, I'm a child of a king, and I'm going to act like one. His confidence was in who his father was. His heart was established in the fact that he is a child of the king. And he refused the current circumstances to change his position of who he was. We have been called to be a king, but Satan will try to steal our confidence. Now, I want you to be honest with yourself as I read these examples of confidence being stolen. How is confidence stolen, and what is it to be? He'll make a person doubt that God even loves them. Make you doubt that God cares or the people around you care. He'll make them doubt that they are the one, so to speak. Make them feel ugly, fat, or not pretty. Make them feel useless. Make them feel insecure. Make them feel like everyone around them talks bad about them. Makes them doubt who they are. Tell me Satan don't come against your mind and tell you you're not good enough. And that's why, you know what, you're mediocre. Just be mediocre. Just go to church. I'm going to tell you that you'll never hear that from me ever, or Brother Tony would ever say, just be mediocre. You be the best that you can be. Mm-hmm. And worship, and as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, don't ever just settle for mediocre, because you're standing for something. And it's so, I preach to my kids ever since they were little, we have a family name that we stand for. And the way you conduct yourself either raises that standard or brings it down. And it's something that God has got a family name that God has brought me bringing it down through the ages of showing the family name. And the way we conduct ourselves reflects on that family name. So not just in households, but as in this church even, there's a family name. When someone says, Spirit Truth Assembly. Oh, I know Spirit Truth Assembly. I never met any of them, but I'm going to tell you what, that's the finest people I've ever saw. Or I can say, yeah, I know Spirit Truth Assembly. Woo, I saw them get their order wrong. Woo, my goodness gracious. No, no one's ever done that. But. It's a family name. It's the way we conduct ourselves. Our name, we are representing something. And the way we conduct ourselves, you're either lifting that name up or you are putting that name down. There is no in between.
Right.
That's true. We can't say, I'll just sit on the fence. I'm neither of this. No, you are. You will lift up the name of Christ, or you will tear it down.
Right.
One of the two. A person, Rahab lived a life that she lived because that's how she saw herself. Talk about Rahab. I hate to call her Rahab the harlot, but that's what she was at that time. A person will live according to how they feel about themselves. A woman walking naked does not value herself. And a church that will walk around naked does not value herself and the word and who she claims to serve. As if a wife that will walk naked for others to see parts of her body that only her husband should see does not value her husband and does not value their relationship, because there are parts about her, there are things in her life that only her husband should see. Because that is a vessel. This is a vessel of the Holy Ghost. And the way we conduct this right here, brother and sister, is a direct reflection of our respect for our relationship.
Right.
God, help me do better. I want to clothe myself with the word. We've said this example many times, how that you can go to a woman today as nice as you possibly can, as humble as you possibly can and say, my sister, you're naked. The way you're dressing, you're not supposed to dress like that. We're holy. We're supposed to be holy. God is a holy God. She will tell you right quick, I'm just as good a Christian as you are. You don't tell me, I'm just as good. I do that. I go to church. I do this. I do that. But you're naked. And in the Word, brother and sister, we can go with the Word and say the doctrines of man, they're coming through this way, of the denomination system coming through this way. We can show with the Scriptures as gentle as you possibly can that says we are supposed to be a holy people. We're supposed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We are supposed to be an example to where someone can see that God makes a difference between Egypt and Israel. There should be an example when someone looks at us, that not that we have to have a sign saying, well, I'm different. No, you should be able to look at the life that they're living and say, that's a holy people.
Right.
Help us, Lord, to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Because as I said, we can go as gentle as possible as you can and say, you're naked. We're not supposed to conduct ourselves like that. We're supposed to be holy like God is holy. Isaiah 4:1, just one scripture. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. When the expression of mercy through the token given to Rahab of saying she had heard the testimony. She had heard the testimonies of a living God. And she said there was no strength left within us. And when the two spies come to them, she said she saw the representation of those two spies. And when she saw those two spies, she had enough sense about her that says the way I treat these messengers is as if I'm treating God. And she said, we have heard what God has done in your life. We have heard how God has killed the part of the waters, how God has killed the enemy. We have heard these things, and there's no strength left within us. Please give us of this grace that you have got. And she said, give us a token that we can have, that our families can be saved. Our whole family, we all want them to be saved. And they said, you give us the scarlet thread. I know we all know the story, but let me refresh your memory. She said, you put the scarlet thread outside your door. And they must be behind that door. And they said, if they step out from behind this token, listen to me, young people, very carefully, the words I'm saying. They said that we're going to give you this scarlet thread outside your door. And as long as they are behind that scarlet door, they're under the token. But if we kill them while they are behind that scarlet door, their blood will be upon our head. This is what the spy said. And then they said, but if they stay, or if they get out from behind that door, they get out from behind that blood, that thread, their blood is on their own head. We've got a token. We testify. We preach. The prophet has given us a message how we can have a genuine token. Whenever we are behind that token, that scarlet thread, we must be behind that door. We can't be out there with everybody else. I'm here to tell you, how many people, how many neighbors was Rahab in the midst of where they were all outside? But here she was acting a fool behind the thread, behind the door, said, no, stay here. Stay behind the thread. Stay back here. Judgment's coming. The God that I've testified of is coming. I've testified, but Rahab, her mama, her Aunt Rahab, whoever it may be, we've never seen this God you're talking about. We've never seen him. I'm here to tell you, there's a great tribulation period coming. We've never seen this thing. We've never seen it. She said, I'm here to tell you. I've been in the presence of a witness that gave me a message that said if we will stay behind this threaded door, we will be saved. They will pass over us. The only way they would be saved in that token is if they were behind that blood. And listen to me very carefully, young people. Don't you think for a second, just because your parents are going to the rapture, that you are. You've got to get yourself under the blood. Because if you go out there acting a fool with the world and going just like everybody else, when a rapture takes place, you will stay with them. And God will only take those that are under the blood. Let me tell you, whenever the flood of Noah and the ark, when the flood came, it didn't say 8 souls and all the children. 8 souls were saved. 8 souls heard the word. 8 souls. waters before. We've never seen water come from the sky. But God gave a message. God always sends mercy before judgment. And only they that were behind that door were saved. And listen to me, we must consecrate ourselves to where we, in our heart, we have our heart established that I am going in this rapture. I am going to be behind this token. No matter what the conditions are. I've told my children many times, I don't care if for some reason I lose my mind and I go out in the world, you stay with the Word. Brother Grum said one time, it threw me for a loop, but I believe it to be the truth. He said, a man can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and lose his mind. Somebody's heard him say that. Look it up. A person can have the Holy Ghost and lose their mind. I'm afraid a lot of people lost their mind around this world. They claim to have the message. Whenever the token was given to her, it showed her thought, it showed God's thoughts toward her. Now listen, this is the word I'm saying. Whenever God gave Rahab a token, it showed God's thoughts about her. What she did with that token showed her thoughts about God. God has given us the ability, God has given us the potential, God has given us everything that we need that we can be behind that token. Be you holy even as I am holy. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes in your flesh. You'll make mistakes every day of your life. But I'm talking about walking under the calling of a son or daughter of God. Just as sure, just as wonderful as it is for a preacher to be called to the ministry, to do those things, you are called, I am called to be a son and daughter of God. And that is the greatest calling there is. I would put that over being a preacher. A son or daughter of God. We are called to it. And under that calling, we're continually walking this long journey of following the Lord, if Lord taking me. Because we got a reservation of a seat over there, and I'm taking my seat. Ain't nobody else taking my seat. Yeah. We call and make a reservation, we're going to say, hey, we're going to have a reservation for this person. They're going to be coming. Can you imagine the reservation they got for me? I didn't make a reservation. Okay, when's it going to be? I'm 74 years from today. He's probably bald by then. A lot bigger belly now. But his name is Daniel Black. And he's got a reservation. And he's going to meet that reservation. God has got a reserved seat for us, but it's too easy for us to say, well, I got a reservation. I just go. But we must seek our salvation, fear and trembling. Of a daily walk of consecration. I feel very heavy. The Lord put this on my heart so hard this morning is we need to walk that line of being holy even as He is holy. Because we are standing for something. We are representing something. When she put the token on display, she showed what she thought about God. Her heart was established in the mercy of God. Abraham received the call from God to start walking toward a promise. In the beginning of his walk, he didn't have much confidence, and therefore it reflected in his obedience. And right off the bat, he took Lot with him. Our confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ is reflected in our obedience to the Word. The blood of Jesus Christ is not just to get out of jail free card to us, but it is our refuge. It is something that set us free. It is something that opened the door back up for fellowship with God. While Abraham was walking under his calling of being a son, his confidence progressed. How many knows that's true? It was a test to believe he would have the son. It was a test to believe that it would be through Sarah. It was a test to see that he would be willing to sacrifice him. Abraham's confidence had to shift from himself to the one that called him. And Abraham failed in himself. He failed with Lot. He failed when lying about Sarah being his sister. He failed whenever he laughed, saying, I'm going to have pleasure and have a child. It was the one that was calling him that was the way maker. And brother and sister, it's the one that's calling you to be a son and daughter of God. It's him that's going to be your way maker. Moses was called to be a deliverer to Israel. And at first, he tried to free them under his own ambition, and his confidence was in what he had learned through military and leadership under Pharaoh. There's a huge difference between working under our own ambition and working under a calling. Because if you're just going through life, listen, try to catch what I'm saying. If you're just going to church and you're just going by, we'll just go by what the preacher says, your walk will be just going to church. But whenever you're walking under a calling as a son or daughter of God, it's a daily thing where you're talking to God, you're meditating with God. God is calling you. It's a touching. How many of us am I talking to? How many people has God talked to you during the week? I hope he does. It's a calling. You're talking to God. God's talking to you. It's a fellowship. It's a divine thing. And whenever you're walking under that calling, brother and sister, and the preaching of the word goes through there, you're taking that thing and you're fighting battles with that calling God gave you. That's the thing I'm trying to point to, is you need to individually look and behold your calling as a son or daughter of God. I am not just going stumbling through life. I am walking under a calling as a child of God. And that is why I'm be holy as I am holy. Because the one that's calling you is holy. If I have Brother Tim saying, Malachi, Malachi, Malachi. And I'm saying, Malachi, Malachi, Malachi. Wherever he goes, the direction he goes, that's the way he's going to be, brother and sister. Because whoever's doing the calling, that's the direction you're going to go. God is calling us somewhere. Let me ask you something. Is God calling us to be like everybody else? Or is God calling us higher? God is calling us to a higher walk. Why do you conduct yourself the way you do? Everyone else is doing this. Why don't you? Because I've got a calling. I'm working under a calling. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I love about Joseph. He said, I can't do these things because I will not offend my God. Because he was walking under a calling. And we are under a calling. And whenever you're walking under your calling of God, that's when you get that love. You know, a marriage can have good things. You got a good marriage, you got communication. I've told many people different times, three different things you got to have. Love, trust, communication. To have a good relationship. Love, trust, communication. I believe it's the same thing with a child of God and serving God. Three things you've got to have to be successful. Love, trust, communication. Whenever you love, I love my spouse. I love her. And because I love her, I have no desire for any other woman out there. She is mine. Because I love God, I have no desire to go be like the world. Trust. I trust my wife that she's not going to go cheat on me. I trust my God. If she says she's going to do something for me, she's going to do it. If she says, Daniel, I will be there at 10:30 to pick you up, I trust her. She's going to be there at 10:30 to pick me up. Well, there have been times she hadn't popped in there at 10:30. But I still trust her. Communication. I have to communicate with her. There has to be a communication, a fellowship with one another where I can talk to her, she can talk to me. She can talk to me about the burdens on her heart, and I can be willing to listen and say, yes, I listen. I understand what you're going through. And I can take that and I can reciprocate back and forth with her because she has a need. I've got something that she needs. I've got a need. She has what I have needed. And it's a fellowship. It's a communication with one another. It's a passion. It's a fire. It's a love. Love, trust, communication. You've got to have it in a relationship. And listen to me, if you don't have that communication with God, you all the other won't work. You've got to have that communication with God. Walking under your calling as a son or daughter of God, it's whenever you are talking to God and God has something that you need and God gives it to you. And listen to me, you've got something that God needs and you give it to God. God craves our worship. God craves our times whenever we will just do something. Say, God, I just want to tell you I love you. Brother Hart used to sing this song, sometimes I just want to praise you. Sometimes just to speak your name. It's not because I'm saying, God, now I need you because I'm in trouble. But it's a daily walk. Says, God, sometimes I just want to tell you I love you. So many times in life, in the natural, I will be at work. I don't know why, but I love you. And I'll send it to my wife, and she'll do the same thing to me. And then many times, brother and sister, during that time, she'll say, you know, I'm having such a hard day. And you send that, and just like, you just lifted me up. It's a faith that we can lift up God. that we can praise God and say, you know what? I just want to praise you. It's a communication. Listen to me. Love, trust, and communication. It helps in your marriage, in your earth, and it will help with your marriage with Him. Amen. Moses was called to be the deliverer, but he was not walking under the anointing of his calling. It didn't work for Moses, and it won't work for us. We must walk under our anointing of the Lord. And you know what? Those tapes, brother and sister, let me emphasize this for just a moment. It is so important that we listen to the tapes. There's an anointing there, brother and sister. He was a God-called man, but his confidence was in his own abilities. He was called all the time, but he had to come to a resting place under his calling after he met that pillar of fire. Moses invested 40 years of becoming the man he had confidence in, talking about himself. But all of his training was done before God. And said, God, I don't have any ability. I am serving you. When it comes down to us using his investments and his calling as a deliverer, it was counted to dung to him. And that reminds me of, and I'm not going to go through scripture just because of the time, but it reminds me of the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says, I'm going to read just a little bit of the scripture because I think it goes together. I find myself rushing so many times that I'll miss a good point. Philippians 3, chapter 4, verse 14. I'll try to move kind of quickly. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in his flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, not touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted to loss for Christ. Yea, doubtest, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not saying I'm perfect and holy, I'm doing all these things. I'm not saying be holy like me, look at me. But I say that's what I'm shooting for. That's the prize. That's the goal. Shoot for that, brother and sister. Even though the world, everybody else is going just be worldly as them. Live a higher standard. Reach higher for the high calling in Christ Jesus. You're called, brother and sister, but you're not called just to live like the world. I'm not called just like the world. We are called to live higher. And if you've got God's eye, you want that. I know you do. We want to. Sometimes in the flesh, the devil will tell you, make you feel like you're telling people, why don't y'all just be holy like me? But that's not what I'm saying. This is what I'm striving for. Because whoever's calling us, that's where we're going to go. As I was saying, Brother Tim or Brother, God's our caller. God's the one that does the calling, and he's a holy God. Amen. And if we're following him, we'll live a holy life. Amen. Because it's his blessing upon our life. I've got just a little bit more. There's a few points I really want to get through, and then we'll be done. Abraham was called all the time, but it was under the visitation with Melchizedek that brought the anointing for the body change. Abraham had to be tested. Moses was tested. Paul was tested. And we will be tested.
I remember in school one time they were going to do a test, and we didn't know that it was going to be a normal day, and all of a sudden they threw a test out there completely unexpectedly. We weren't expecting it. Sometimes tests, you don't get the heads up. Hey, I'm going to give you a test today. Thank you, brother. Now I know we're getting so many amens. I'm just Ethan. Moses was tested, Paul was tested, and we will be tested. Just as Abraham came face to face with the pillar of fire, Paul met that same pillar of fire, and we will meet that same pillar of fire. Acts 26:4-20 says, "My manner of life from my youth, which was first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straight sect of religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly, serving God day and night, I hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and with them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I said, Thou, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which have been seen, those things which will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but shewed first unto them Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. I'm going to do one last quote from Brother Brennan. Please listen to these words we're saying here. Now this great architect come down to build this bridge. The first thing that he did, he told them that he could do it. And he's a man of reputation. So what he did, the first thing after he was given the contract, if he knew he could, he knew that he could ever build the bridge and make it successful, that his reputation would be greater than any reputation for building this famous bridge. So the first thing he done, he selected first the very best that he could find of the architect of skilled labor. And everything that he went at, he test proved everything. Even all the steel that went into the bridge, it all had to be considered. How long would it stand the weather? How long it would stand the salt? How long it would stand the storms? And if a fire struck, how much? How much it would expand in hot weather, and everything had to be tested. That's the way God did when he made this salvation bridge for us to cross from earth to glory. He tested.
Every servant that comes to him must be time-tested and proven. Every son that cometh to God must first be tried of God and tested, child-trained, and brought into Christ must first be tried. The prophets must first be tried. He said, if a prophet speaks something that what he says comes not to pass, don't hear him. It's a time-tested thing. And if that man building the bridge so time-tested everything, even to the bolts that he put into the bridge, he put a magnet on them to see if they were genuine steel or not. When he went to fix the great tower, they said, in the middle of the waters, they said that it had taken him I don't know how long to sink this column down into there and to be sure that nobody lost their life in doing it as far as humanly possible. And he dug down. He struck one layer. He tested the stone. It wasn't the right kind. He blowed deeper and deeper and deeper because he knew this great ark out there in the middle would be the thing that would give. That on the bridge, it has to be set on the right kind of rock. How God did that between the Old and New Testament, he spanned his plan of salvation. He hoisted up an ensign of Golgotha's hill, none other than the Son of God, to join man to God. It was time tested. He tested it through the seed of Abraham, down through Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, down through David, on down to the end until that perfect seed come that could stand in the middle, the old sinner on one end and God on the other of the bridge of the way. Every word that he spoke, every word was placed into the Bible was time tested by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I believe every tender. Say amen. It was tested. Every part of that bridge had to be tested to be put in this, assembled in this great bridge. And God is building something. God is building a body. And we too are tested. Even to the small things of the bolts in our life, everything to the washers in our life, the way we conduct our finances in our life, the way we talk in our life, we are tested. What's God doing? God is making sure that you are secure because his vision is going to be to the end. But in order for us to fit that vision, we have to go through the same process as everybody else. There are no shortcuts. We have to say, go deeper and deeper and deeper. And I love that about that quote. Talking about how you have to go deeper and deeper. And brother and sister, that's what we do, service after service after service. Each time you spend time with God and you're fellowshipping with God, what are you going? You're going deeper. There's been times, brother and sister, I thought I could never get any deeper in my experience with the Lord than right now. Right now, I could take a rapture right now. And the next thing you know, that thing will crumble through. And what to do? God's taking me deeper. Deeper into his word. Deeper into his experience. Deeper into his fellowship. You husbands and you wives, you think you just love your spouse. You're like, there's no way I can love them anymore. Let time go through and you just break through. And next thing you know, you love them even more. And that's the way it is with God. God is testing us. God is proving us. And as the music, go ahead and come if you don't mind. He talked about how they put that magnet over there to make sure it's real steel or not. And God is calling us. There's a pull. And that pull is something. What is it that pulls you? What is it that causes you to want to pray? What is it? It's a magnet. God is pulling us. Reminds me of the story about Abraham. I think it was Abraham Lincoln that had the kite in the sky. Had a key on it. But he was holding that kite in the sky. And they said, what are you doing? I'm holding on to a kite. How do you know there's a kite? There ain't nothing up there. How do you know it didn't break loose? He said, because I could feel it pulling me. And brother and sister, under our calling as a son or daughter of God, there should be something pulling us. There should be something on a daily basis that's leading us and guiding us. And who in the world thought we would be where we are today 10 years ago? But what is it? We've got a cot string and we're pulling something from God. And listen to me, that cot string of God will never pull you to the world. He'll never pull you into unholiness. He'll never pull you to where you start revealing your body. He'll never pull you to a place. Sisters, I don't get the best sisters in the world, but I have to say this at the top of the church. God will never cause his sisters to take clothes off. Because if you are holy, you're made to be holy before God. In this church, the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, we are called to be holy. I said called to be. It's a calling. It's a supernatural thing.
Can we play that song? You guys got a song together? I Feel the Pull. Whenever we are walking under a pull of God, we are walking under a call of God. Whenever you're doing, brother, that's when the sweetness happens. Because whenever you're walking under a calling, it's not. You can praise God because things are going good. And sometimes it's not just because things are going bad. It's just you got that pull inside you. It's something inside you that just, I love God. I love my calling of being a son of God. I value my family name. I value it. I value being a Christian. And it makes me want to live higher. It makes me want, not out of obligation, not out of fear, but out of a love and a respect for this holy name. God's called us to be holy. Such a desire for you to be holy, such a desire to be successful, but he wants to do it according to his word. And I've mentioned something to the young people, and please take these words from my heart. Don't rest on a coattail of a preacher and thinking that just because I go to church I'm going into rapture, because it's not that way. You've got to have your own experience in God. You've got to walk under your calling of God. You've got to have that walk, that fellowship, where you know that I have
accepted that blood of Christ. I am behind that token, and I've received the Lord. And brother and sister, from the depths of my heart, listen to what I'm saying. This Bible's going to be shut for the last time one time. There's going to be a call out there saying, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. You live higher, live higher, live higher. Don't be like the world, don't be like the world. Preachers are preaching from their heart the best they can. But there's going to come a morning. Body change is going to take place. Let's just bow our head for just a moment, please. Heavenly Father, I love you so much. I love these people, Lord. Lord, they that under the sound of my voice, Lord, if it be over the internet, Lord. I know it wasn't some kind of dynamic message, Lord, or anything like that, Lord, but Lord, you know I gave it from my heart for you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, you'd walk the aisle this morning, Lord. You would knock on hearts, Lord, that each of us could evaluate ourselves and say, am I really walking the line? Am I really holding those principles and the standard of the Bible? Am I really being the example of the people that I'm around, Lord? Lord, I want us to be, each individual, Lord, I want it to be that they be carriers of your anointing, Lord. Lord, just as sure as and sincere as it was whenever Moses come before you and he stood on holy ground, Lord, and he met that baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord. He met you face to face. Lord God, as just as sure as the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus in that pillar of fire, Lord, you struck him off of his horse, Lord, and you said, I am Jesus, the same God that was in with Moses. It was you, God. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. And Lord, you're that same pillar of fire this morning, Lord. But you're here in the form of the Word, Lord, the form of the spoken Word, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord, knock us off our horse, so to speak, if that's what it takes, oh God. Lord God, put the scales on our eyes, if it be, Lord, that we can't see nothing until all we see is you, God. Oh, Lord, touch these children, touch these mothers, these fathers, oh God. Lord, I've got family that are lost, oh God. Lord, I ask you, help me to be a better example of you, Lord, of your mercy, Lord. Oh, God, we love you this morning. I ask you to meet every need and just receive our praise at the end of this service.
know she's resisting that old devil, God. And Lord, she's come this morning. Lord, this morning, she asked for a fresh anointing from you, Lord. Lord, a freshness in her walk, God. I ask you, Lord, would you search her heart, Lord? Lord, would you go through everything inside of her, Lord? If there be anything that would hinder her walk with you, Lord, that we can move those things out of the way by faith right now, Lord. God, I ask you that you help her to be sensitive to your leading, Lord. Lord God, that you've given her a gift to sing, Lord, that she can use it under the anointing, Lord, that it can break the chains, God. Lord, it can help her to be a service to the body, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you restore the joy of her salvation, God. Lord, I ask you to restore her prayer life, oh, God. Lord, I ask you to restore that communication, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to bring your anointing upon her right now, Lord. I testify that you care, Lord, and you love her. You're mindful of her. You have a vision for her, Lord. I commit her to you. Oh, God, come. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in this place. I ask you, Lord, come across this building as a blanket, God. Oh, that that divine love would come upon our hearts, Lord. That you will melt away any disobedience away from any child in this place right now, Lord. Oh, I ask that that divine love, Lord, would melt away all fear, melt away all anxiety, oh God. Oh God, I'm asking you, Lord, would you give us a refilling of your Spirit this morning? Lord, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in our heart, into our lives, into this building, Lord. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. His heart, Lord, if there be anything in his life that would hinder his walk with you, Lord. Lord, we want to lay it under your blood, Lord. We want to be behind that thread of that token, God. Lord, we want to be behind it, saying, Lord, we value your word so much, Lord. We value your blood so much, Lord. We don't want this world, Lord. We don't want anything to be a blemish to your name, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to restore, Father. Restore the joy of his salvation this morning, Lord. May that divine love come now, Lord, and melt away everything that's unlike you, Lord. Help him to make decisions that are your decisions, oh God. Lord God, may the way he thinks, the way he conducts business, Lord, the way he chooses things on a daily basis, help him to be led by your Spirit. Help him to know what is your perfect will for his life, God. Lord, what is your way, Lord? What is your desire for his life, God? We want to lay ourselves at your feet this morning and say, Lord, I am here to worship you. Lord, I am here to lay my life down before you. Lord, I'm here to say that I want you more than the world. I want you more than anything. Lord, I want your fellowship. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I welcome you into this place, Lord. We welcome you into his heart, God. Lord, we welcome you. Go through every channel of his, every closet, every door, God. Everything that's in him, Lord, we want to lay it down before you. We give it to you in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Say.